It says, first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth and that other disciple and came to the sepulchre, and they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. And then cometh Simon Peter following him, and he went into the sepulchre and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. And then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciple went away again into their own home. The disciples went away again into their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth the two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? And she, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. And she turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day and what this day means to us. Lord, the resurrection of your Son and pointing the way to us to have eternal life. We're thankful for that, Lord. We know one day we'll have victory over these bodies and sickness and disease, and we know we have victory over death even now, over sin as well. So, Lord, I pray for those that are sick and lift them up to you for strength today. Lord, I pray, though, this morning that you meet with us and have us focused on you and your word. I pray, Lord, that you speak to each heart that's here. We all have different needs, Lord, and you know every need we have. Make us aware that you're with us. And, Lord, give us that peace that we need, Lord, and we'll trust you for what's going to take place this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I was thinking last night, I was outside just before dark. It's real pretty quiet. And I was thinking to myself that over 2,000 years ago on the Saturday, after Jesus had been laid in a tomb, what a bleak outlook or mood that probably prevailed over the whole world. Think about this, that Jesus Christ, you know, God in the flesh, the Son of God, laid in the grave. His Holy Spirit hadn't yet been given. And so that for that, from Friday till Sunday morning, that time period, you know, how dismal things must have felt spiritually to the world. Amen. Till the next day, of course, we got to the resurrection day. I believe that the disciples had a sleepless night that night. Their world had been shook up, particularly since Jesus' arrest, his trial. There'd been the scourging, the crucifixion, his death and burial, you know. I've seen some dramatic things in life as far as death goes. And even when it's somebody that you don't know, sometimes that it's a traumatic thing to see. It affects you somehow, much less when a loved one has passed. We've all had loved ones pass. And, you know, we know what a whirlwind that puts us into. I remember when my mother passed away, and I remember walking through the house right after she had died that same day in the afternoon. I walked through the house by myself, and I was looking at the things that she had set around, the little knickknacks and everything that she had sitting just such a way, and you just couldn't hardly believe. It was just so hard to believe that she wasn't there anymore, you know, and then she wasn't coming back to this earth. And I mean, it was just a unbelievable thing. And, you know, it's we get in a state of shock and confusion about what's going to take place. You know, we don't really know what to do. I'll never forget the there's lasting impacts on those situations, that certain pictures that you never get out of your mind. And I remember the night after my mom died, and Sherry and I laid in bed, and I heard my daddy crying in the room, in the bedroom, and he kept saying over and over to himself, "What am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do?" And, you know, it was tough, boy. It was tough. And you know how that feels, and you just wonder about the future. And I believe all the disciples and Mary and others that loved the Lord, they had that same thing going on in her mind. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? And I did notice when I study the Gospels, I see that the disciples, it seems like that just about all the time, wherever Jesus was, they were. You know, they weren't very far away. Sometimes he sent them away to do something, but they would come back. They always came back to him. They came back. They were always around him. And now, even in death, we see that Mary, she wanted to be even just near Jesus' body. Just a dead body. You know, sometimes we see that. We take our loved ones to the graveyard and we put them in the grave, and you just can't, it seems like, you know, that last parting moment to tear yourself away from where the casket is, even though, and I'm not one to go to the graveyard a lot, because I really know that the body is just the body there. It's not, but some people really struggle with that last closeness that they have with their loved one, that body's there. And, you know, so we see those that love Jesus, and in Mary's case, and then Peter and John, they took the first opportunity of the next day to get back to the body, to get back to the tomb, to show their respect to Jesus. You know, it points one thing here in our life today, the need that we have to come to the Lord early in the day, early in the day. You know, if you ever noticed Jesus' life when he prayed, and it was early in the morning, he would pray to God the Father. And, you know, we need to seek him early in our life with the Word of God, and through prayer and reading the Word of God. And I think, you know, several things, when we seek him early, we'll find out that there's surprises that God has for us each day. The very first surprise we see with Mary's case, you know, we know that she went to the tomb. She said, "Well, I'm going to go anoint the body." But she also knew that there was a major obstacle to doing that, and that was that there was a stone, a huge stone, that they would roll in the way. You know, the graves weren't like what we have here, like in the ground. They usually were in the side of a cave, a rock, or they had like a carved out place. And Jesus' body was in a wealthy man's grave. He wasn't going to need it long, but he was in it was a wealthy man's grave, and it was in the side of a rocky place, and it had a stone that rolled in front of the grave. They put stones there to keep people from stealing the bodies, or stealing really the clothing and things from the bodies. Nobody really wanted a body, but it was an obstacle. Now, Mary didn't know. She said, "I'm going to go anoint the body of Jesus," but she didn't know how she was going to anoint the body of Jesus, but I want you to see it didn't matter to her. She just said, "I'm going. I'll worry about that bridge when I cross it. I'm going down to the grave to find out." And we know from our text, when she got to the grave, the obstacle was already taken away. But I thought about that. How many people have a problem? There's an obstacle that keeps them from coming to Jesus, so they never take the first step in coming to Jesus, because they're always in their mind thinking about the obstacle that they might have back there somewhere in the back of their mind. You know, if love is a powerful, powerful motivator, and love is the thing that just removes the obstacles out of the way. You know, it takes away the what abouts and the what ifs and the whys and the questions and, you know, the I'm tired and I'm sick and I'm busy and all those things. It takes those obstacles away and the I don't knows. You know, there's so many obstacles that people have imposed in their own mind somehow of coming to Christ, but You know, all you have to do is just take the first step. When she got to the grave, to her surprise, guess what? The stone was rolled away. Huh? It's just rolled away. And I think anybody that wants to come to Christ, it doesn't matter how much baggage you have in your life, what your past looks like. It doesn't matter what kind of problems you may foresee in the future. Listen, there's no problem too big for God. There's no problem too big for God. And I like that she went down and she went. She went anyway. She didn't know she was coming to a risen Savior. She just thought she was going to a dead body. That was another surprise that she was going to find on Easter morning. Love. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians that love beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things, and love never fails. Right? Love don't stop you. Love won't allow anything to stop you from getting to the Lord if you want to. She was looking for a dead Jesus, but she found a living, breathing, resurrected Savior. That was a surprise that morning right there. You never know what you're going to find. I've told people over and over and over again, so many people, and I remember when I first got saved, and even now, listen, I'm telling you, I'm the pastor of the church, but there's times, listen, I just don't feel like going. That old alarm clock went off this morning. Man, I didn't know what all that racket was, and I turned it off, and I turned the coffee pot on, and I went back in there and laid in the bed, and I was thinking, boy, I wish I could just sleep in. Maybe I'll just call in sick, huh? I'll do like some other church folks sometime. I just won't show up. Y'all would have been real weird if I hadn't been here when you got here this morning. Everybody said, wonder where the pastor is. I just thought I wasn't going to make it today. Listen, I don't always feel like coming, but I'll tell you, when I was in that position, when I sat in the pews, and there was times I thought, man, I just don't want to go, but the pastor's going to say something to me. If I don't, and I know I ought to go way down inside. Listen, I got the biggest blessing when I went. And you know what? I realized what it was. It was the devil trying to keep me from getting there and getting the blessing. Man, just think. Not all the disciples ran down to the grave that day. Mary went and she ran back and found James or John and Peter, and they were kind of heading that way. They weren't running yet, but when she told them, they ran down there, but not all of them got to see it. How'd you like to have been the one that walked in that tomb that morning? Huh? And the stones rolled away, and you know, they had a guard posted over that thing. They didn't want the body to be out of there. They were afraid that somebody would steal the body. The pilot and all the rest, they were afraid. How'd you like to have been the one that walked down there and the stones rolled away and you knew something supernatural already took place? And then you go in. John, he's a little bit afraid to go in. He just looked in there. Going in a grave's probably not a great place to go. But Peter, he went in. And he was standing there looking around. How'd you like to have been? Mary went down there and two angels appeared, one sitting on each end. And then the Lord calls your name out and you turn around and look at him. It didn't happen back at the house. It didn't happen back when you're laying in bed. It didn't happen back when you're watching TV and watching the ball game. It happened when you go down seeking Jesus early. That's when you get a surprise from God, man. When you're looking, you find, and she went down there and found that. I got just four things I'm going to talk about this morning. The four things a risen Savior did for Mary that he also can do for us and does for us. He'll do for us. Number one thing we see is he calls our name. He calls our name. Verse 16. We'd see that Jesus called out and he said, Mary. You know, one of the things about it, this tells us when we trust Jesus Christ that we have a living, personal relationship. You know, sometimes with God we sit there and think, we're like this. Here we are when we pray. People do this sometime. They look up. What are you looking up for? He's not up there. He's here. He said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. He's talking about now. He's not up there. He's here. You might want to sit there praying, looking around like this. Huh? He's not up. Sometimes, but what I'm trying to get you to see is sometimes we have a distant relationship with Christ. You know, we think about him being so far away that he's a long way off and not having a personal relationship where he's right there. I'll show you this morning when I preach at 11 o'clock some things that the cross did for us and the transformation of the cross and the transformation of the resurrection. But one of the things that the transformation of the cross did is it transformed the way we come to God. In the old days, the priest had to go into the Holy of Holies for you. But today, you go. You can talk to God yourself. And he knows our name. Huh? He told Jeremiah, he said, before I formed thee in the belly, you thought you had something to do with it. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. I knew thee. God knows you personally. He knows your thoughts. He knows your heart. He knows everything about you. He knows your name. He says he knows the hairs on your head. numbered them. Knows how many? Man, I mean, he knows everything about us. And you know what? He didn't say to Mary, he didn't say, hey, you. He said, Mary. He called her name. He called her out. He calls out her name to deliver us from demons and darkness into his marvelous light. You know, and he called Mary and he said, listen, she turned herself, it says in the text. That's a picture of repentance. See, listen, I believe that Jesus Christ calls everybody, but not everybody turns to him. Not everybody turns. And she did. She turned and looked and she said, Rabboni. That was a different word than they usually use. And this meant, not only did it mean a rabbi would be a teacher, but she said Rabboni, and that's it. That means my great teacher. My great teacher. That's what she understood him to be. Her life was changed instantly, and he changes any life. Listen, anybody that seeks Jesus Christ, he'll change it. When you seek him sincerely now, and you trust him sincerely, and I said, this will tie into this morning's message. You know, if your life hasn't been transformed by Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you, don't have a relationship with him. You know, you don't have a relationship with him. He'll change any life that seeks him. The second thing we see that Jesus did for her, and he'll do for us as well, he'll calm your fears. He'll calm your fears. You know, when Jesus said Mary, that was the word of God. Jesus, God in the flesh, he spoke to her a word. He said, Mary. The Word of God. Jesus makes himself known to his people by the Word of God. This is it. How do you have a relationship with somebody? You spend time with them. You know something about them. How do you have a relationship with God? You spend time in his Word. Man, this is something. Never neglect the reading of the Word of God. Amen. Never neglect the reading of the Word. This is God's Word to us. It's been protected. I was telling somebody just the other day, there's never been a book that's been under more attack than the Word of God, trying to disprove it, trying to say it's not true, trying to say it's not real. Listen, this is it. Do you think God would let something happen to his Word? God would let a lie be propagated throughout the world for thousands of years that wasn't the truth? No. No, his Word, he put his Word on earth and he's protected his Word. Trust me, the devil's done everything he can to get the Word of God taken away, because that's how God speaks to us through his Word. And he spoke, and he spoke her name, and she knew. And instantly, think about that. You go down there and you're sad. You're disappointed. You're discouraged. You're confused. Sorrow, just, you know how it is. And you just no, there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do. When my mom died, the overwhelming thing was just, it was never going to be the same. I just knew she wasn't going to be in the house. And I just couldn't grab that. Mary's down there with all those emotions. Now the body's gone. The one tangible thing that she wanted to get to that would, she could hold on to a little bit longer to be close to the Lord, it's missing. And Jesus said, Mary. Instantly. You talking about a shot of adrenaline. Huh? He's talking about a shot of adrenaline. If when he said Mary, her life just changed so dramatically. I mean, those, I don't know how fear went. There might have been some fear, but I'm going to tell you what, there was some joy. I'm telling you, sadness was gone. Discouragement was gone. Disappointment was gone. I'm telling you, the whole thing, it went from a sad day, a sad state, to just like an unbelievably surprised, joyous occasion. Did she understand everything? No, she didn't, but it didn't matter because Jesus was there. That was it. I'm going to tell you what, boy, if any loved one you had came back from the dead, it might be a little nerve-wracking at first, but I'm going to tell you what, it wouldn't matter how they got there. She was there, and that's all that would have mattered. They would have been there, that's all that would have mattered. Listen, man, the fear about death was removed, the fear about eternity, all the major fears that we have. You know, what does the future hold? It's removed. Listen, man, look in the mirror, folks. You're not getting younger. Man, I mean, life is going by fast. Everybody here that's got any age on them at all knows this one truth. Life is passing by fast. Fast, man. I mean, it's just like, where in the world did it happen? I was thinking the other day, I was asking Sherry last night, I was starting thinking up, I've been saved 29 years, almost 30 years. I'm thinking, man, alive. I can remember, man, when I got saved. I remember when that happened. Boy, the time's going by. It's just shooting by. Everything's going by quick. And you know what? You're not going to live forever. Man, you can take all the vitamins you want. You can go to the gym every day of the week. Man, you can run, jog, eat fruit, do whatever you want. Unless the Lord comes back beforehand, you're going to die. And I don't want to go out into eternity. I don't know about you, laying there on my deathbed worrying about, you know, hell and all that and where I'm going to end up in my lifetime. Man, listen, no, I'm going to trust Jesus Christ. I'm going to put my faith in Him, man, and then take the fears away about death. What the future holds is life. The third thing we see, a risen Savior will comfort your sorrows. In verse 15 there, it said to Mary there, it said, you know, woman, why weepest thou? I'm paraphrasing and say this. What are you crying about? What are you crying about? She thought somebody had stolen the body, that all that she had, that one tangible thing I spoke about a moment ago. And she thought that she just wanted to be close to a dead body. I mean, that was just something all she could hold on to, you know, and that's what we're holding on to a lot in this life for comfort. We're just holding on to dead things. The Bible says that this world's passing away. Man, you can stack up all the dough you want in the bank. When you die, it don't matter. I mean, listen, you can get all the lands and houses and homes and cars and all that. We're holding on to dead things. Listen, it's all going to perish one day. You're not taking it with you, man, when this life's over with. It's gone. But she wanted that dead body of Jesus. And I want to commend Mary right here a lot. You know, she rose up early just to be near what she thought was going to be Jesus' dead body. Today we've got a risen Savior. We've got the God's glorious Word. We've got a church that's been established by Jesus Christ. And listen, man, you know, and we can't get people to come and be that devoted to Jesus Christ today. And He's alive and His Word's alive. And it said that He'd meet with us. He's there. She is more devoted to a dead body than the church is to a risen Savior. Amen. That's right. There's something wrong with that, by the way. When Jesus said Mary, He revealed Himself through His Word. And Mary was instantly transformed. As I said, fear's gone, sorrow's removed. And boy, I just think that, man, I don't know what to say about it. I mean, I just think that the joy that came into her heart that instant was she was just about to explode with joy. Huh? I bet she didn't feel like laying out of church that night, did she? Huh? Sunday night service came around. She didn't feel like laying out of church. I don't care what was going on back at the family, back with her life. I don't believe nothing was going to stop her from being around Jesus. Nothing, because she had that joy in her heart. Jesus overcame death. What does that mean? You know, a lot of times we know to overcome death. I'll tell you what, death is the biggest problem you face. Huh? That's the biggest problem you face. There's nothing any bigger than death. It means that there's no problem too big for God. I don't care what the problem is that you have. There's no problem too big for God. It doesn't matter what you're facing, whether it's a health problem, a job problem, a marriage problem, a fear about anything, doubt about anything, drugs, alcohol, Satan himself. Listen, God's bigger than all of them. Because death's the biggest problem that we face in life. And he overcame that. And that's exciting to think about that. And the fourth thing is this, that the resurrected Savior will conquer your doubt. Conquer your doubt. You know, when Mary went down to the tomb that day, all she was focused on was the present situation. And when we focus on only the present, we lose perspective. You know, when we begin to focus on ourselves and not our Savior, it's when our problems become magnified to seem bigger than the Lord Himself. We focus on our problems and not the promises of God. You know, Jesus had told it, said actually, they, it said in the text that they didn't know about the resurrection, but that's not exactly right. Jesus, they didn't know in an understanding way. Jesus had told them many times what was going to happen to them. He said, listen, I'm going to be arrested, I'm going to be tried, and I'm going to be died, and I'm going to be taken away from here. But you know, it's like a lot of folks in churches today, it went in one ear and out the other, and they forgot about it. And man, listen, you can preach about trusting Jesus, and you can preach about the need to be in the Word daily, and you can preach about the need to be in prayer every single day, early, starting off your day, and then people sit there and bob their head up and down, but in reality, it's going in one ear and out the other, and then the next thing you know, a crisis comes along in their life, and they're down in a dumpster, and they're boo-hooing about what they're going to do next, and you go down there and talk to them, and you say, hey, don't you remember? Yeah, I know, but I just forgot about it. Why? Because you focused on your problem instead of focusing on Jesus. Huh? You focused on your problem instead of getting close to the Lord. Listen, all those problems. We have a promise from God that He's not going to leave us nor forsake us. We got that promise from God. Listen, He's not going to, I don't know what everybody's going through. Everybody's got different issues, I'm sure, from the way things are in the world today. Everybody's got something going on in their life. He said, listen, I'm not going to leave you nor forsake you. Doesn't mean you're not going to have to go through some of the things you have to go through in life. A lot of things we go through in life are self-imposed, by the way. A lot of them we're going through the problem we're going through because we did it to ourselves. Huh? And that's all right, but listen, Jesus didn't say, well, if you do it to yourself, I'm going to leave you and forsake you. No. He said, you know what? Even if you do it to yourself, I'm going to still go with you. He said, I'm still going with you through it. I'll be with you. Put your trust and faith in Him. A promise from God. A promise that He's going to meet every need. And also, we got a promise that He's coming back. Amen. He said, listen, I'm coming back one day. He's coming back for His church, by the way. That's to save people. He'll be coming back for us, and it's going to be a resurrection day of sorts then. You know, when we're just snapped out of here, boy, the rapture takes place, man, and we're going. And if we die ahead of time, our bodies will come back. Our soul will be put with it. We'll stand before the Lord one day, a glorious day. We're going to find out that it's true. There's going to be a lot of surprised people, man, one either way. There's going to be a lot of people that said, you know, I never believed all that, but you're going to find out too late that it's true. Mary got more than she expected that day. She went down there just expecting a dead body. She expected a tomb that was going to be sealed up, and she didn't know what she was going to do. She just expected to be going ahead in a mourning process that was going to last for several weeks, down the road. That's what she thought was going to happen that day. And she had so many things that she didn't even know what she was going to do about it. Boy, she got to the tomb, the stone was rolled away. She got to the tomb, she didn't have a body. She got to the tomb, she had a resurrected Savior talking to her and said, go tell the other disciples. They ran down, they got a surprise. Boy, they looked in there. There's a Jewish custom that means, it said Peter looked and he saw the napkin folded lying in by itself. When the Jews went to a restaurant, when they finished their meal, they would crumple their napkin up and lay it on their plate. If a waiter came and saw the napkin, somebody or a house guest came and saw the napkin crumpled up on the plate, they knew they were finished. But if they saw the napkin still folded, they knew they weren't done. Peter looked in there and he saw the napkin was still folded up. He said, that means he was done as far as dying on the cross was goes, but he wasn't done dealing with his people. He said, he's coming back. He was coming back. And that's a great thing right there. And that was exciting. And it said, when he saw the napkin, it said, Peter said, he believed. I think he remembered some of them things Jesus said to him right there. They all got more than what they expected. And I'm going to ask you, what about you? As far as the Lord is concerned, do you get more than you expected? You know what? He knows your name. He's calling your name. And he calls every single one of us. Thank God, almost 30 years ago, I answered the call when he called my name. Amen? Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for that resurrection day. Thank you that we serve a living Savior, not a dead one. And Lord, we know you're coming back for us. We know you love us, Lord. Thank you for calling us. And thank you for you still calling people today. You're still calling people's name. And every single person still in this world has an opportunity to be saved today and trust you. And put their faith in you. And I pray today, we go through the service this morning, anyone here that's not sure about their salvation, maybe never answered that call, maybe never called back out to you, that they do see that need to do that today. Trust you, and we'll put that up before you this morning as well. Be with those that's coming later, and we got some sick, Lord. Give them strength. We'll take their fevers away. Whatever's going on in their life, just help them. And now be with us as we go to eat and have an opportunity to celebrate what this day means and celebrate our salvation. Thank you for providing food for us, warm place to meet, the fellowship that we have with one another. And I will ask you to bless that now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.